Hey everybody, it's Corey here. Just wanted to give you a heads up. There's some weird audio stuff with this episode. First off, you'll notice that throughout the episode, it sounds kind of airy. And then also, when I'm talking over music, like when I bring the show in, you're really not going to be able to hear me. I'll be very faint and in the background. And the problem is we got this new equipment thanks to our Patreon supporters, and I'm trying to learn how to use it. And apparently, I don't have it figured out yet. So again, this audio quality, it's not what what a typical IVMV episode sounds like, but it's very listenable. I don't think, you know, especially if you're in a car, you're not even going to probably notice. So yeah, I apologize for that, and I will get it figured out before the next episode. And here we go. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me are the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
Hey, Kurt.
It's Labor Day, and here we are, Labor
Day. Sitting in a chair in my basement, laboring away.
Talking about the code.
Yeah. This will be the easiest labor I do all day.
I know, seriously. Labor Day is like the biggest, like, fraud ever.
Well, I think maybe for our generation it is, because we, you know, I sit around all day at my labor as well. So maybe if we worked in factories, you know, with fear of losing limbs, it would be more special.
That's true. Thanks for putting it into perspective, Kurt.
Yeah. Stop. Be grateful once in a while.
Thanks for reminding us what the reason for the season is.
That's right.
Well, and really, it's not labor to talk about the Cubs this season. That's for sure. Other seasons, it has been very laborious. Yeah. So, but not this year. So, let's start things off with our check-in. Where are we, Kurt? The magic number keeps falling.
Yeah, it does. Down to 11, and they've eliminated the Brewers and the Reds officially, so they cannot win the division. Surprise, surprise. They're 88-55 for .647 winning percentage. So if you play that out for 162 games, that would be 104.8. So just shy of the 105. And they're 16.5 ahead of the Cardinals. And that's what the Cardinals win yesterday. So, I mean, they both won, so it was a wash. But 16.5. Like, I didn't expect the lead to just keep growing either, but no, it does.
No. I'm hoping that the Cubs clinch in St. Louis. I think if it's either the Tuesday or Wednesday game, I'm going to try to make it down there to it. But man, at this point, it kind of feels like it very well could happen before that.
Yeah, I tried to kind of do some if this, then this kind of calculations on the where they could do it, and my brain almost exploded. So like, I quit, and I was trying to figure out like when it could happen or where, but. Yeah, it's there's too many variables.
That's what I was going to say. There's just too many variables because it can happen twice as fast if the Cardinals are losing and the Cubs mm-hmm. Cubs are winning. And I hate to like root for a couple of Cubs losses to push that into St. Louis, but on the other, so instead I may be hoping for a couple of Cardinals victories, whatever it takes for it to happen Tuesday or Wednesday in St. Louis, because I'm going to do everything I can to go down there if that's the case. Well, buying tickets for, speaking of going to St. Louis, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show that you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They have come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I mentioned, wanting to go to St. Louis. I'm also hitting one more game at Wrigley this regular season, at least one more. And if the Cubs, you know, like I said, if they're set to clinch in St. Louis in one of the final two games in that series, I'll probably be heading down that way for that. And the only place I'm looking for tickets for any of these games is SeatGeek. They do all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible. SeatGeek does all the work and they save you time and money. and they want to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, and you'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click on add a promo code, and then enter the promo code IVY, I-V-Y, all capital letters, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So I don't think Cubs fans need to be informed that many of the Cubs players are playing incredible baseball this year, but let's be honest, I don't think fans of other teams need to be reminded that either. I think the Cubs are getting a lot of hype. But August was really quite a month, and two guys on the team that were major reasons for that are Kyle Hendricks and Chris Bryant, and they won some monthly awards. Kyle Hendricks was named the National League Pitcher of the Month. He pitched in six games, threw 42 and a third innings, and he gave up 26 hits in those 42 and a third innings. Six earned runs the entire month. His ERA in August was 1.28, and since the All-Star break, he has an ERA of 1.34. We're talking about Kyle Hendricks here.
Yeah. Although, when does that stop being a joke, you know, like the fact that he's pitched this well? I mean, I totally understand where that comes from, but at this point, wow. I mean, he's...
Well, and it's
that just, kind of location command is some of the best we've seen.
Well, and very effective.
So, yeah, I mean, at some point it goes from, huh, remember when Kyle Hendricks was just sort of a nobody to Kyle Hendricks is just really good.
Well, I think what's kind of so shocking about all of this is that when we talk about Kyle Hendricks being a nobody, we're talking about like a few months ago.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a player last season that really the Cubs didn't trust to finish a game or to go deep in a game. And now you have him, not that he's going out there and throwing complete games all the time and going 8 and 9 innings. I mean, seems like he's had a couple of like shorter starts, but he's being effective and he's definitely going deeper. I mean, I think one of you guys shared a stat last week about how he is going deeper into the games. And I just think he's been a pleasure to watch. And I'm excited to see what he can be for the Cubs here in September and, more importantly, October.
Yeah, it's a nice contrast to like all the power pitching you see, and nice to see a guy who locates well and
right.
Gets guys out. It's almost surprising like that works against major league hitting, but it does.
Yeah, you're right. There's a huge emphasis on the power pitching and the guys that are throwing, you know, close to 100 miles an hour, 97 to 100 miles an hour, and tons of strikeouts in baseball right now. And then here's a guy that doesn't strike out very many guys and just induces a lot of weak contact. Like you said, he just gets guys out, and it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch a contrast in style compared to what we're kind of used to. And that's what he's been for us this year.
Talking about how deep he's been going in games, Kyle averages 6.3 innings per game started. And last year that number was 5.6. Just for comparison's sake, Jake Arrieta this season has averaged 6.4 innings pitched per game started. So he's averaging, he goes about as deep in the game on average as Jake has this season.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see what Madden does in the playoffs with this pitching staff. I mean, he's got a lot of weapons in the pitching staff and a lot of weapons that do different things. And that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to here in October. And then Chris Bryant, I mentioned him. He was the National League Player of the Month in August. And man, did he have a great month. His slash line in the month of August was .383, .472, .584, which is really incredible. 10 home runs, 7 doubles, and a triple. And those, you put up those numbers for a month, you're going to win the Player of the Month award for sure.
Yeah. Hopefully solidify the MVP for anybody who is doubting.
Yeah. And really, you know, just kind of looking at his numbers, looking at who he is as a player, just kind of caused me, like last night I was looking at this stuff, and it just kind of like made me step back and just look at this team, look at this roster. And to have a guy on this team like this that isn't like the biggest story in baseball necessarily, like, or even like necessarily, I mean, I kind of feel like he's maybe the biggest story on the team right now in a way, but I mean, there's just so much on this team, and just looking at him and looking at what else is on the team and looking at the players that do incredible things every day that don't, you know, I mean, I hate to jump on Javi all right away, but I mean, watching guys like, but watching guys like Javi play, and it's not like, he's not putting up like gaudy numbers, and he's not, most people and most other fans in baseball probably have no idea what kind of, the non-stat numbers that are happening. You know, I mean, obviously there's stats for defensive numbers and everything like that, but I mean, like, you know, it's just this team, and they're like the quick throws to first, the just as the incredible defense that they're playing, and just what this team is. And it just kind of caused me to like step back and look at the whole package. And it really was worth sitting through 2010 through 2014 to see this team that we have right now. I don't regret that one single bit.
No, I mean, yeah, I would agree with you saying, you know, sitting where we do now and seeing how good they are, it feels right. Although if obviously it wouldn't have panned out, we wouldn't feel the same way. But going back to Brian, I think what's most impressive too is how quickly he's become one of the best players in the league. Like you even like compare him to Rizzo, he struggled in San Diego, and then he struggled with his first year up with the Cubs, and now he's progressed to easily one of the top players in the league, and it took him some time, and that's normal. And then you look at Bryant, and it's like 2013 he was in college.
right
I mean, he was 2013 like Golden Spikes Award, and then, you know, a little bit of time in the minors, and now his second year he's clearly one of the better hitters in all of baseball. And it's like, wow, I think it's just easy to take for granted how amazing that is on this good of a team. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and I mean, so that's a good place to mention it's his first full season.
Shut up. Crazy you mentioned that. The first I've heard anyone say anything about that.
Yeah, man. Huh. Where'd you hear that stat, Andy? Where'd you dig that out of?
I think Coombdog and Pat say it every once in a while, don't they?
Every couple of innings.
Well, it is true.
It is true. I'm trying really hard to not like dive into a rant about the radio broadcast right now, so maybe we should move on.
Yeah, let's do it.
So as we've marched to the end of the season, toward the end of the season, we've been kind of checking in on injured players, hoping to see guys get healthy and come back and join the Cubs so that the Cubs can be at full strength in October. So how are things on that front, Andy?
Yeah, this injury update is brought to you by Abandoned. I'm kidding. So Hector Rondon, let's have the good news first. Hector Rondon could be available for today's game already. And so he's not going to require a rehab start or anything like that, a rehab appearance, I should say. So that's good news. As Madden has had to get creative a little bit with the back end of the bullpen, it'd be great to have one of those set up late innings guys back.
And somebody that can fill in when they're kind of overusing Chapman.
Oh yeah, for sure. And
I mean, it was great. It was great to see Carl Edwards Jr. get a save, but I think ideally you kind of want to have you would rather have Rondon there for that. So they kind of made do with what they have, but it'll be great to have Rondon back.
Yeah. But on the bad news front, Pedro Strop had a little bit of a setback. He pulled a groin muscle in rehab, so the optimistic outlook had him back as early as the end of September, and in all likelihood that's going to be October now. So that's a little disappointing. We were hoping he would be back before the playoffs, but I don't know, it's it's possible he might not be back till the playoffs.
That's really a bummer too, because you would like to see him get in a few games before the playoffs to kind of get back in the groove.
Right, he's not going to have the opportunity to do a minor league appearance probably at the point when he's ready to return. So yeah, he's just going to have to. It's like right into the fire, I guess. Soler has been dealing with an ingrown toenail lately, and so that's limited him to pinch hitting duties the past couple of games. He does look a little tentative when he runs. In fact, JD made a joke that he should just hit one out of the park so that way he can jog when he was pinch hitting. So that's a very painful thing. I mean, you see people muscle flexing on that all over the internet, who don't realize that, you know, people get surgery for this. It really, really hurts. And so, hopefully he is able to overcome that soon. So that's another frustration for the Cubs. One other item is, you know, Lackey pitched his first game back from that shoulder strain he was dealing with, and he looked pretty good yesterday. He pitched five innings, gave up one earned run, two runs total. One was unearned due to Hayward's error in the field, and he struck out four and walked one. I saw Hayward was quoted as saying he went over to say sorry to Lackey for committing that error. Can you imagine having to go over to Lackey? I was just like thinking about being in that position where you're like, I bet most guys wouldn't go over to him, you know?
Well, he's kind of like, okay, so imagine like you're out in the country and you see a field and there's a horse out there.
You find a nice shiny apple.
Right. You bring an apple over because you want to like pet it. You want to have that experience, but you're a little bit scared because those are some big teeth that could chomp down on your hand handing them that apple. So.
And it looks a little randy over there, you know, it's kind of galloping around and stuff.
Stammering, no, anyway. Stomping its feet.
But yeah, I was just trying to imagine having to go over to him and saying sorry. But he was quoted as saying, hey, the dude's been playing gold glove defense out there in the field all year. So I want him out there in the field. It's no big deal. So I thought that was a good perspective from Lackey.
As long as he gets his jewelry.
Yeah, so that does it for the injury update.
Cool. Well, we do have a couple of listener questions here. So let's do those real quick. This first one comes from Twitter, at Brad Jones Sales. @BradJonesSales. And he says, compare Carl Edwards Jr. to Juan Cruz. Reminds me of him. First off, I think you're overestimating our collective memories.
I remember Juan Cruz.
Yeah. I remember being a lot smaller, though.
Well, Kurt, I couldn't remember. I wasn't even sure if you were a Cubs fan when Juan Cruz was.
Yeah, it was probably fairly. When would he have played?
2001 to 2003.
Yeah, yeah, because that was like late 90s, so that was early on in the. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember him.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess you guys have any thoughts on this?
Not too much.
Well,
but yeah, I mean.
Well, Juan Cruz was 6'2". I thought he was a lot shorter than that. But yeah, he was really skinny. And I really distinctly remember his breaking ball having a lot of lateral movement on it. I don't know. I don't remember him being like. Throwing that hard, though.
No, I didn't dig in a lot. I mean, I just remembered, like, I guess when I looked back when reading this, I thought, oh yeah, they're similar in stature. Like, that's about what I remembered of Juan Cruz. And I didn't do a ton of research, but I did look at a couple numbers, and basically I think if you look at them outside of their appearance and their stature, Carl throws harder, he strikes out more, and that's where my analysis ends.
There you go. Comparison complete.
At @ArmyFlyer25 says, if Rizzo and Bryant had a kid together, what attributes should he have? Which I don't know why he's assuming that the child is a boy.
Oh yeah, sure.
It could be a girl.
I say all of the attributes.
Isn't that what happens? I mean, we can speak to that with our kids. I mean, they got everything good.
Oh, yeah.
And bad. It'd be a good looking kid, whatever the gender was.
I don't know. I mean, what if they made like one of those Conan O'Brien? What if they made it like face amalgamation things? I bet it wouldn't look that good. The eyes would look good, probably.
All right.
I bet it would look kind of monstrous, like somebody tampered in God's domain. You know, it probably shouldn't happen. I think this would be an abomination.
I'm pretty sure it won't happen, Andy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know. Have you seen Junior? I saw this documentary. It's called Junior. And it had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. You know, they dramatized, you know, some of the science behind a male getting pregnant. But if you think it can happen, check out the documentary. It's called Junior.
I think you mentioned the Conan O'Brien, you know, mixing of two faces. I think that's our assignment to someone out there that either knows an app that allows for that or is good at Photoshop. But
does Snapchat do that?
I want to see some. I want to see some Rizzo Bryant children pictures.
It could get ugly.
And the last one here is from Michael from Galesburg. We went over and played wiffle ball over there. It's delightful as usual. I had a blast.
Man, yeah, that was playing over there. Good time.
Michael, while we were over there, he kind of brought this up and then he texted it to me. He said, basically asked who we want. Well, who do we want the Cubs to face in each round of the playoffs and who do we think they will face in each round of the playoffs? Oh, and man. I mean, to give you guys a few seconds to think about this, for me, like, It was kind of, I understand what he's asking, because I think in most years you think like that. You think like, oh, I want to see the Cubs face this team because they're weaker and I don't really want to face this team. I don't necessarily feel that with this Cubs team because they're just like, no team really scares me. You know, it's not like, oh, we'll really get lucky if, you know, so-and-so gets knocked out of the playoffs before. You know, I think that, mm-hmm. I think there's like, you know, some teams maybe the Cubs don't match up as well against, but there's not any team where it's like, well, the Cubs are really going to have to bring their A game or we're going to have to, you know, get lucky to squeak past this team. I just don't necessarily feel that. And so in looking at who the Cubs could potentially face in the playoffs, I'll be honest, there wasn't anybody I was like scared of facing. I mean, there were like, you know, I guess you could look at like Kershaw. You know, you could look at individual player pitchers or whatever that you're like, oh boy, I don't really want to face them. But like batters don't really scare me. I mean, look at how Joe handled Harper. Like, I don't know, just walk him, count on, you know, put pressure on the next guy to do something, and they didn't do that in that series. So I do you think I'm like crazy for not really? I mean, it's not to say that I think the Cubs can just like waltz through the playoffs and everything is fine. I mean, I definitely think it's more likely than not that at some point in this, you know, I think what are the Cubs like a 30% chance of winning the World Series, which means 70% chance that it won't happen. So it's not like I'm delusional and I think like, oh, there's really no point in playing out this, you know, this sequence because I think the Cubs have it, but there's really nobody I'm tremendously scared of.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of the National League opponents, I would say the Nationals would be a pretty tough team, but their rotation isn't at full strength because they're missing Strasburg. Their bullpen has some pretty good arms in it. They got Melanson before the trade deadline. So, I mean, I think they could be a tough team for the Cubs to match up against.
Well, so let's look at it this way. Okay, so if the season were to end right now, then it's Giants and Cardinals in the play-in game, right?
Right.
So who would you prefer wins that play-in game?
I think the Cardinals. honestly. But I feel confident.
Probably would too, but... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Andy.
No, I was just going to say I feel confident the Cubs could beat either team, but we've seen the Giants are very competitive against the Cubs in this series.
Yeah, I'd probably say Cardinals too, just because I think San Francisco's pitching staff holds up better. Like, because if they throw Baumgartner in the playoff, then you face Cueto or Samardzija. And
right.
They still have a couple guys. They've got some depth in that rotation where St. Louis has got some good pitchers, but they have not performed as well as people thought they would this year. So,
yeah, and it's...
you know, I feel like number two... I mean, who is number two in St. Louis? Like,
I don't even know.
Garcia, maybe. I don't even know what their depth chart looks like. But yeah, if they throw Wainwright in the play-in game, then they look a little easier to beat.
Yeah, and I mean, part of me is like, I think probably what a lot of Cubs fans feel, like you just don't even want the chance of the Cardinals ruining this season. And so part of me would say, oh, I want to face the Giants just because I don't want the Cardinals anywhere close. On the other hand, I think the Cardinals are, I think the Cardinals are a much easier matchup than the Giants. And I think another thing, I think that if that series happens, what I expect to see is that the Cardinals do not have a good defense. And I think that Madden and the Cubs will put so much pressure on the Cardinals defense that they will make a lot of mistakes. And I just see a lot of almost what we saw, you know, like in that game two of that series last year where the Cubs just kept bunting and putting a lot of pressure on the infield and the pitchers. And I just see the Cubs being very aggressive and really just kind of like forcing the Cardinals to make mistakes. So I think on one hand, I don't, like I said, I don't want the Cardinals anywhere close. But on the other hand, I think they're pretty beatable.
Yeah. And to go along with what Andy said too, like the first round, yeah, it doesn't scare me too. I think if you really boil it down, you have to go through Washington. I think they're the toughest team.
So when that,
they don't scare me, but they, I think present the biggest
challenge. Yeah, the Dodgers I don't think are quite the same challenge as the Nationals.
Yeah, in the NLCS, that's what I was thinking too. I think I would rather face the Dodgers than the Nationals, but again, I think they're both beatable, you know.
Murphy fella in the playoffs,
true.
I don't really want to see him come to the plate.
True.
And the Cardinals injury report is ridiculous. Michael Wacha's on the DL. Lance Lynn has been gone all season. Mike Leake is on the DL. I mean, they seem pretty depleted. We saw Matt Holliday's injury against the Cubs. He's still out. Yeah, they look pretty depleted.
Yeah. Yep. So let's say the Cubs make it to the World Series. Who would you like them to face?
Oh, man. That involves talking about that other league.
I know, and that's where I feel about. I basically just looked at it like the records, and like what very little I know about the AL teams. But I was thinking I would kind of like to see the Cubs face the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that could be cool. I think thankfully that the American League as a whole is not as strong as it has been in the past.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of formerly good teams that are not anymore, and I mean the Rangers have the best record in the AL, and they've played them this year and handled them pretty well, and I think the Rangers have outperformed expectations versus nobody really expected them to be this good, so they don't look too worrisome. So
if I had to pick a dark horse of who I want to see them play, it's the Astros, because I probably have an in with Astros tickets, so I guess that would be my preference.
The Astros are two games out of the wild card race right now.
Yeah.
And so Detroit, Baltimore, and Boston are the three teams they're kind of in the mix with for the wild card.
Yeah. And I mean, I think just because of Baltimore's power hitting would be a reason that I wouldn't necessarily want to see the Cubs face them. But I don't know. I think you could find reasons why you would and wouldn't want the Cubs to face any team from here on out. But, I don't know if we answered your question, Mike.
Yeah, at that point, I mean, if they get to the World Series, I don't care who they're playing. Let's
Right.
Let's just get there.
Although, if they played Cleveland, that would be, you know, a doable trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck, even Toronto would be doable.
Those would be tough tickets to get. Yeah, that's what Delana, Michael's wife, was like, so do you have your passport ready if the Cubs face the Blue Jays? And I was like, I don't even have a passport.
Spoken like a true Cardinals fan. Like, things we wouldn't even consider.
I don't even need to leave this fine country.
I looked ahead to see if I have my passport ready for a World Series.
That's like one of those things that's been on my to-do list for like 2 years. Like, yeah, I should get a passport. And then, like, when she mentioned that, it was like kind of a wave of panic. I was like, I need a freaking passport.
A wave of Joe panic washed over me.
Yeah, you better get on it. They're backed up.
I thought yesterday was the end of Joe panic puns.
Jokes?
Yeah. The broadcasts love those.
Oh, man.
All right. So, Kurt, do you have a scary stat for us this week?
I do, but Corey, since you don't look at the notes, we have not discussed the previous.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Giants series. No. Duh. I got all wrapped up in talking about postseason stuff and forgot.
I don't think we need to talk too much, but there are a few points that I do want to touch on. And you guys can kind of chime in if you have any others as I go, but like, they've been winning a lot of close games lately. Five of their last six wins have been by one run, and then that loss was by one run in this series. So they're kind of winning a little bit differently. The run differential hasn't been huge. That's I think kind of good to see going into the end of the season, them battling and scoring late.
Yep.
Of course, we talked about starting pitching that continues to be great, but also the bullpen in this series was nearly perfect. And this isn't the scary stat, but I'm going to throw down a pretty scary one here. The first game they pitched the bullpen, if we just count Montgomery as a starter and not as part of the bullpen, they pitched five innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, five strikeouts. And then, of course, game two is the Lester complete game. Game three, they pitched three innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, one strikeout. Game four, they pitched in the extra innings, eight innings, gave up just three hits, no runs, two walks, and 11 strikeouts. So the total in the three of the four games they appeared in, 16 innings pitched, three hits, no runs, two walks, and 17 strikeouts.
Dang.
And I think the most impressive have been Smith and Zestrizny.
Yeah.
That 1-2 punch, if you can believe that.
the most common last name and the most unusual.
I know. And it's Joe Smith, right?
So together at last.
Smith Zestrizny. I'd like to see what their baby looks great. Like.
It's a duo, since Rizzoli and Isles has there been a more dynamic duo. All right, sorry.
No, that's all right. But they accounted for, I didn't count up their actual innings, but like probably five or six of those 16 innings. So they were really good.
Really, the pitching deserves a lot of credit for taking three out of four in the series because the offense definitely scuffled at times.
Yeah. Well, and the weather's starting to change. I mean, the ball's not going to fly like it did before in July and August, early August. So I think we're going to see some closer games like this, and I think we might see, maybe the Cubs not rely on power quite as much here, just kind of preparing for October baseball.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's great to see Hayward starting to continuing to hit the ball well. I mean, yesterday's game he tied it and hit the walk off. So
well, especially good since I think it was game two he had an offer and failed in multiple men on base or men in scoring position opportunities, and so then he had yesterday's game, which just meant speaking to his mental state that has to really help.
Yeah, and I think he's hitting, some stat I saw somewhere, he's hitting over 300 since his little vacation.
Second All-Star break.
Yeah, his second All-Star break.
Yeah, I don't think his numbers are going to improve drastically this season. I mean, it just can't really. But I do think it would be great to see him get some momentum and some confidence.
Yeah, and it looked like he had it.
Yeah, on Twitter yesterday, I saw Dexter Fowler tweeted something about his wife giving him hitting advice. And so he posted that gif of Homer like fading into the bushes. it said nope on it. It's like when your wife tries to give you hitting advice. But I mean, don't Dexter's numbers haven't been that great lately. Yeah. The last 15 games, he's hitting .220 and has an OBP of .324. He struck out 17 times in the last 15 and walked 9 times. And if you extrapolate, if you, you know, stretch that out to the last 30 games, the numbers only get a little bit better. So he's definitely scuffling. And so it's good to see other guys kind of getting hot when he is having a little bit of a down time right now.
But that's the great thing about this team is that whenever anyone, any player kind of goes into a little bit of a slump or is struggling, there's like three guys that are they're playing out of their minds.
You know? Right, yeah. Well, it almost looks like the other eight.
Yeah. Here's another fun little contrast of last year. Last year's number nine hitter is now the guy you walk in an RBI situation because he's got, what, 88 now or something? And they walked him to get to Hayward and then got hurt for it. So, yeah, I mean, the lineup just is just relentless.
Yeah. Anything else on this Giants series?
Well, I do think it wouldn't be a proper recap if we didn't talk about a hobby tag.
Oh, yeah.
And the one from yesterday was probably the most amazing one because it happened like in the air, you know, like I don't even know how to describe it other than it was just.
It was like a no look. He would, because of his body positioning and wasn't able to look, but still applied the tag, you know, just like we were talking about in the last episode, Corey.
Yeah.
It was, the body control. I mean, everything. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah. And I'll stop arguing that he should play third because that pretty much proved it. Like he's too good.
Well, and really, I mean, I like Zobrist. Don't get me wrong, but I want Javi at second base every game. Like I just, unless it's giving Brian a day off or moving Brian to the outfield for some reason, just to keep him fresh out there. And or Zobrist could play third though. I want Javi at second base every game from here on out.
Yeah, and Madden is trying to find Bryant a day off somewhere, but
Brewers series might be a good time to do it.
and honestly, going into September, I mean, Javi's got a lot fewer games under his belt because of his role this year than a lot of other guys. So go ahead and play him. It's not like he should be tired, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, so that's it for the recap for me. We took our second to talk about Javi, so I'm good now.
Yeah. I'm glad we were able to fit that in. So, Kurt, why don't you keep things going? Do you have a scary stat?
I do. Corey, you talked about how good Hendricks and Bryant were in August, but the team as a whole was just incredible in August. And we've talked about this before, but since this was my first podcast after August finishing, I'll kind of wrap it up and give you all those numbers. So they finished 22-6. That's a .786 winning percentage. So if they played an entire season that well, that'd be 127 wins. They didn't lose their first game until the 13th of the month. They played 9 series in August and they swept 6 of them. And so kind of putting this in context of how good of a month that was, I just started clicking backwards and looking at the month stats. And this is the best full month of baseball, excluding those sort of like 1-5 game Octobers and things like that, of baseball since July of 1945, when they went 26-6 for an .813 winning percentage. So we just witnessed one of the best months of Cubs baseball in history. And that's kind of cool to think about.
It felt like we did. Yet, in a way, like everything with this team, it kind of feels like it flies under the radar.
Although I guess the people paying attention to mainstream like sports media, which I don't, and I don't say that as a jab at anybody. I just think if you do, you're probably not thinking they're flying under the radar.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure they're getting lots of national attention. I don't pay attention to that.
I don't either.
You know what? Before we move on to internet muscle flexes, which I'm not sure if you guys have any, but I did miss a listener question here. in which case he's probably like turned off the episode. Like he told me he was going to put that in there and he didn't after we wrapped up the list. So Thomas, if you stuck around, here's your question. Thomas asks, who makes the, our 25 man roster at this point? I see Montero missing the cut. So I think rather than kind of, I think the second part of your comment there is the part to key in on is who potentially does miss the cut. And I don't know if we've talked about that on recent episodes. I know that I've had those conversations with people, maybe in person. I don't know if we have on the podcast about who maybe misses the cut. I think that Montero does, unless something weird happens between now and then. I just, even though, you know, he had that, was it extra innings or just his walk-off win? I can't remember if it was in the ninth or in extra innings. It's all kind of a blur right now, but, the walk-off, because of his at bat, and, but still, I mean, he's batting so poorly. His receiving hasn't really been that good this year, and with as good as Contreras has been, as dynamic as Contreras is, and I think with what Ross brings to this team, I kind of don't see Montero making the cut. I mean, yeah, I think at this point, Montero is your last choice in a pinch hitting situation.
He's your bubble that you don't. Yeah, I think he's the first guy out to me. Yeah, because like with, you know, with La Stella back and Coughlin seemingly healthy again, I mean, it's a little sad to think that like that left-handed, those two left-handed bats are a better option,
yeah,
than him, but they kind of are. So
yeah, his career is or I don't know, let's hope that this year isn't like a trend in his career but more like a blip. But I mean, I think if you're looking at it honestly, I think you have to, there's a good chance this is a trend. Just because of his age and body type and everything. So do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I have one.
I have kind of a bunch, and honestly, I haven't looked at them since I screenshotted these, and I did this as I woke up.
Okay.
Okay. Can I throw in a couple first?
Sure.
Okay. I'm flipping through trying to find these things real quick. Okay. So I don't even know what picture. These are all from Instagram, Cubs Instagram, and I don't even know what this picture was. But the handle for this person is MLB Sponge. The comment reads, baseball and SpongeBob fans here.
What?
Then under that, there is a handle MLB SpongeBob. And, that person says, follow for the best SpongeBob baseball memes.
What? What? That's when worlds collide.
Had to have created that just to get that comment up.
Oh man. Okay, I have another one I want to throw in here. So this one is
I have so many questions though. All right, keep going.
This one, I don't know. It's not that strong, but it kind of made me giggle. So this, it was on like Jason, it was a picture of Jason Hayward yesterday or whatever.
Here we go.
Yep. And this person says, I like all the people saying Jason Hayward is back when he had 3 bloop singles. Like, ignore all the times he's like hit the crap out of the ball right at someone. But BABIP gods finally looked down upon him and 3 fell in there, and you've got a guy like, oh, they were only bloops.
Yeah. I mean, granted, they did drive in runs, but I mean, it was bloops, man. by the way, just as a little note here, since Hayward came up again, on one of the broadcasts about a week ago, they showed a dude in the stands who looked vaguely similar to Hayward. Did you guys see this?
He was basically like an African-American gentleman with a beard.
With a beard, right? And so I think I had the audio off or something, but Beth was definitely like, is it racist? Because, I mean, like, they really didn't look that alike. It was just, so, like, was the split screen there really, really necessary? Anyway. Just, I'm sure a lot of people probably remember that.
Yeah, that was a good one. Okay. Why don't one of you guys go, and then I'll jump in with a couple more. I have more than I thought.
Okay, here's my lone Internet Muscle Flex, and it comes from one of the BFIBs on Twitter. And this guy, you guys may have seen this, but this guy tweeted, "Give me Moss and Jerko over those pretty boy divas, Bryant and Rizzo, any day of the week."
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. You can have them.
Those are the deal. Those are the two you want, really?
Yeah. Give me Moss and his 35% strikeout rate. I don't know. It's, and well, there's a multiple aspects of that that are humorous, but I don't know. Calling Bryant and Rizzo pretty boy divas is pretty hilarious, too.
Okay, I'm going to jump in with a few more here, Kurt, and then you can go.
No, I don't have one.
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up then. So there was a picture that the Cubs Instagram like reposted, and it was of Addison Russell like sitting on the field with his wife and his kid. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was on like Family Day or whatever. So one person here says, "Addy, keep that focus. 2 months left till you." He said, "Keep that focus. 2 months left till you can take a vacation, but we need that World Series, my man."
What?
Like, don't spend a few minutes with your family sitting. He's wearing like a uniform and everything. Like,
this guy thinks that the players wear their uniform all year round. Like,
they sleep in it.
Whoa. You got an infant kid. You got a toddler. Keep your focus, my man. World Series.
Imagine like, you know, like players in the Dominican Republic in the off season go like running into the ocean in their uniforms and stuff like that.
Laying out at the beach.
Time for some much deserved R&R, you know, pulling on the belt and stuff.
Okay. So in this picture, like he's kind of sitting in the grass and he has his legs like kind of split. And then like his wife is sitting in between his legs, you know, with and holding their kid. So he's kind of like got his hands behind him, you know, kind of like that leaning back position that you would be in with your legs spread out. And so one person here said, your legs look insanely long. And the next person commented and said, like his Wang.
What?
And then I'll wrap things up here. I don't even know. Oh, this is from Facebook. And this person says, I saw and met Carrot Top on July 23rd, and he said, go Cubs, go. Since then, the Cubs are 29-14.
Wait, I thought you said yours weren't very good. These are the best I've ever heard.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, there's obvious correlation.
Everybody go see Carrot Top quick.
Yes. We're gonna post the Carrot Top tour schedule on the site.
Oh man.
I didn't know that guy was still doing that stuff.
Oh man. I think you have to go to Vegas. Did he say that in the flex?
No. He did go on, but I didn't look at it, so I'm not sure. Alright, so that does it for this episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. And by the way, we do have that drawing for the John Baker bobblehead coming up. I'll be honest, it's not happening this week. I'm going to shoot for our midweek episode next Wednesday. So we do have one new Patreon supporter this week, Clint from Oklahoma City. So thank you, Clint. And Patreon helps us do what we do. It pays the podcasting bills. It helps us do our live events. And every penny that we've made from Patreon has gone right back into the podcast. So you can check out our campaign at patreon.com/IVMB. That's patreon.com/IVMB. So we'll be back on Wednesday to talk about the series that the Cubs are playing up in Milwaukee against the Brewers. And until then, go Cubs. Stop.